Good afternoon. I think somebody just stole my Smokey the Bear thunder before I ever got on the air. And my guest is, well, we'll get to him later. Oh, my name is Roger Metz, and you're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK. I appreciate you spending part of your Saturday with me. And remember, you can listen to this show on your FM dial, download the free Conservative Talk 94.5 app, or listen to the live streaming feed at conservativetalk945.com. Look on the right side of the webpage. Click the Listen Live link. Yes, we do have podcasts, and I'm working to get those on the site for you so you can listen to the old shows. I can't believe they did that Smokey the Bear thing. Oh, well, I'm still going to do mine, Dave, so just hang in there with me. Oh, hey, it was a good week. I actually got out and fished for a few hours this week. If you've listened to this show before, you know me personally. You know that I love to fish. And I like to fish anyway and fish for anything. I don't think I have a favorite one way or the other. But this was a high tide sight fishing for redfish in the grass, fly fishing with no scent added to the fly now afternoon. Yes, we saw fish. The water on the flats was just gin clear. It was beautiful weather, hot. I know it was about 96, but you fish in Charleston this time of the year. You're used to that. And the fish were up there. They were flopping all over the place, tails and backs and all. And we drew a big fat zero between two of us. And we probably saw 15, 16 fish. They weren't in the grass. And when they get in the grass, they feel protected. You can flop that fly 3 or 4 feet ahead of them. They come up on it and they just suck it in. All the fish we saw were in these little ponds that have a sandy bottom, lots of fiddler crab holes, and they were cruising and pushing, but they were flopping. Yeah, I have to prepare myself for these kind of trips by expecting to go zero for zero. But we had some follows. A couple of fish looked like they'd already sucked the fly in, but they just come up, run up to it, stop, and spook. And I think what they're doing, they're just seeing us. The water was so clear, there was nothing between us and them. Didn't help. The wind picked up a little bit. A lot of ripples, so it made it hard to see them all the time. Anyway, that's not my first skunk, but I did have a first of sorts on Wednesday afternoon, and that is after 10 years of being up, I fell off my polling platform. Well, not my polling platform, my friend's polling platform, which is about the size of my computer keyboard here. Mine's nice and big, but anyway, we spooked a fish. I pushed off to one side. We're fishing out of a gnu, which is like a river hawk, if you know what those are. And I just lost my balance, hung on the pole, and I put my right foot back to grab the tail end of the platform, and my big toe might have been on the edge of the platform. And in a split second, I knew I was going. I told Jeremy, I said, well, I'm off. And I always said I was never going to go in sideways because there are scattered oysters down there. Luckily, I had my wading boots on. But I went in feet first, sunk up to a little past my knees, got cooled off and all. If you don't know what a polling platform is, Google it. If you have ever seen a flats boat, it's about a 2 or 3 foot platform up over the motor. You stand up there. I've got a pole that's incredibly, it's 21 feet long and weighs 4 pounds. It's some kind of glass technology they use. Anyway, I was graceful. I was cat-like. I will admit there were a bunch of kids swimming in the river and they gave me anywhere from a 6 to a 10 on my entry. We had a good laugh, went on back fishing. It was a great day. There's always a silver lining. Even though we didn't catch fish, we had some fun. That was my week. Luckily I made it through without any broken bones or oyster cuts. So it was good. What's on the schedule today? And I may regret this at the end of the show. We have a celebrity in the studio with us from our own Department of Natural Resources staff and the Lakelands Branch of Quality Deer Management Association. He may argue with the celebrity status, but both times I have, and I just met you, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yes, sir.
At the Quality Deer Management Association meeting. This is Sergeant Eddie Montz with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. And both times he's been receiving awards. So he is a celebrity. I've never received an award. So we're in the presence of a celebrity status here. And boy, we've had fun the 15 or 20 minutes leading up to this. And he was telling me he's got 29 and a half years in, and if this goes real bad, he just retire.
So did you.
So did I. I got a little over 5 months, and I may retire, or the station may retire me. But anyway, we've got Sergeant Montz with us today. We're going to talk Take One, Make One. It's going to be a good show. So if you are a mentor, a kid, a parent, this is a show for you. If you've thought about getting involved with hunting, this is your show. Listen in, call in. If you've got an experience with Take One, Make One, or you want to have an experience with Take One, Make One, you've got the man. He was awarded the Quality Deer Management Association Law Enforcement Officer of the Year for his work with our Take One, Make One program. This is your chance to get, find out anything you want to know. So the numbers, 235-9405. If you're in the Greenville area, 877-235-9405. If you're out, if you don't want to go on the air, give your question to Dave. He'll send it through to me on my screen. And for any of Sergeant Montz's buddies that are going to call up here, we do have a dump button. So I warned him about this before we went on the air. He said it was perfectly fine with him. Of course, he's got his sidearm over here, so he'll keep me straight today.
I'll go. You're going with me.
That's right. We're both going together. This is going to be a good show. Anyway.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
And somebody stole that on the news break. But today is actually the 70th birthday of Smokey the Bear.
Why do you look at me when you say 70?
I was looking at you because I was going to say you had a comment on Smokey the Bear before that he's our friend when we talk about campers starting wildfires, but he is not your friend when we talk about
prescribed burn.
That's right. Everything, mm-hmm. Everybody thinks forest fires in general are bad, right. But I tell you from a wildlife standpoint,
can't beat it. It's one of the most helpful tools out there.
It is. Every time you burn off, you get all that nutrient, the ash and all that goes back in the soil. You get all the new growth, which is where animals feed. They don't feed on that mature stuff. They feed on that new green stuff that pops up after a fire. So anyway, happy birthday, Smokey the Bear. I still can't believe they did that at the top of the hour to me. Anyway, let's go to the calendar events. We're going to run this segment. It's going to be way over, so we'll just go to the break in a few minutes and come back and finish it up, and then we'll get to Take One, Make One. You need to stop looking at me and laughing like that. All right. Hey, we had some good news. Skytop Orchard is open. They opened on, I think it was yesterday. And those of you who know about Skytop Orchard, everybody's going, they've already pulled out their calendars, started planning their trips to Skytop. They're open just a little bit early this year. If you've never been to Skytop, it's up. You take the East Flat Rock exit off of 26, go up there. You'll see the hard left-hand turn up the mountain. If you go right now, they've got the pears, the ginger gold, apples, the early max, galas, late August, Honeycrisp, mid-August. If they're opening early, they must have enough to open up. And, you know, when you go up there, do not forget to get some of those homemade apple donuts. Those things are the bomb. So Skytop's open. Make your trip. I'm sure I'll be up there a couple times this year, and I may just ride up there just to get some donuts. All right. Castaway. The summer's coming to an end, but if you're going to be in Myrtle Beach, at Myrtle Beach State Park, you can go every day on Wednesday, every week on Wednesday from 8 to 8:45. They're going to take you down to the surf and teach you how to throw a cast net. And I think throwing a cast net is one of the most instructional things out there as far as figuring out what's living in the water around you. So, Myrtle Beach, Castaway at the Myrtle Beach State Park here between now and August 27th. Take your kids or you and go learn how to throw a cast net. News from the DNR. Now, we talked about it when the lottery hunts went up July the 1st. Well, you've got till August 15th to get those lottery hunt applications in. They are online only this year. You don't have any paper about paper applications anymore. You do have the option to get just a preference point if you want to do that. The temporary wildlife management permit is not an option anymore, so except on the waterfowl and turkey hunts. So if you're going to go to the deer hunt, you need to have that that wildlife management permit. And remember, it is included in the sportsman's license, the junior sportsman's license. And if you're over 64, it's in the gratis license. So those are due by the 15th. Go ahead and get those in. And it's also got a note here that the Croft State Park archery hunts have been canceled indefinitely. So I don't know what happened there, but I'm sure more details will be coming out. Like I said, we blew that first segment up. It's okay. We got 40 more minutes, so we'll be back on the other side of the break.
Going out to eat, not as fun as it used to be. Not only has food quality gone downhill, but customer service is non-existent. At Southern Fried Green Tomatoes, we are family-owned and operated, and our mission has always been to offer delicious home-cooked meats and vegetables with passion. That means providing outstanding customer service. Because to us, you are more than just a customer, you're family, and eating with us should feel like home. Don't forget Kids Eat Free every Monday and Wednesday night and all day Saturday.
And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I'm going to finish up with the calendar events real quickly. We were talking about the deer applications are due the 15th, and those are, there's some really good hunts. Bear Island, Donnelly, Palachicola, some of the really good places, and they have all the dates there listed. Those are the multi-site deer hunts. You got another section that is for the Webb Wildlife Area, and I've been to Webb a couple times where you go and stay in the house. They fix you dinner and brunch the next day. I assume it's still that way. Great place to go for a deer hunt. And then you have an archery only hunt. It's available November 6th to 8th down at Webb. So, like I said, go to the DNR webpage. If you're at all interested, and maybe you can't go this year, but you need to roll up those preference points. Go ahead, select the preference point only option for this year. That gets you in the system and you can roll up those points. So when you do decide to go, you got enough points, you get drawn the first year you actually apply for a hunt. Friends of the NRA, the Woodruff branch, is having their banquet Saturday, August 16th at 6 o'clock. Limited seating. They will not be selling tickets at the door. So you need to go to www.friendsofnra.org/SC. Or call Jeremy Estes at 864-580-0305. Again, that's over at the Woodruff Shrine Club in Woodruff, South Carolina on the 16th. If you want to go see a Civil War, Revolutionary War reenactment, go over to Cowpens National Battlefield on the 16th. The South Carolina Rangers are going to have their encampment, and I love this blurb on it. Says they will be have weapons firing demonstrations at 10:30, 11:30, 1:30, and 2:30. So, lots of smoke, lots of black powder going to be burned over at Cowpens National Battlefield on the 16th. Don't forget, and we're going to cover this if I have time a little bit later on, the FLW, the Forestdale Woods Bass Tournament will be on Lake Murray. Actually, the first day I'm going to be down there is Tuesday evening. I know Eddie's going to be down there too. In fact, a lot of the guys I know from DNR are going to be there. Back, big happy family reunion. But don't forget, even though you've got all that going on, you've got the South Carolina Barbecue Association has got their barbecue cook-off on Saturdays and Sundays down there. It's going to be a great time. We've gone through a lot of the stuff that's going to happen at the tournament. So don't forget that. It's a great family thing. Actually, I'm going to be volunteering at the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources Kids Fish Art Table inside. I'm sorry Lorianne got to me before Take One, Make One did, because I got an email from Take One, Make One saying, hey, you want to volunteer? That's already taken for this round. Glendale Outdoor Leadership School over in Glendale, South Carolina, they're having another one of their Wilderness First Aid courses, August 16th and 17th. This is certified training. You will get an American Red Cross CPR certification. It's a two-day course, $140. It's one of those courses that if you're going to be out in the backcountry hiking, if you're going to be a group leader taking things out, you need to know this because it covers, you know, musculoskeletal system, backcountry essentials, cold and heat-related injuries, patient assessment, lifting and moving. You know, my daughter Taylor, who you heard her last week, is laying on the couch now with a sprained knee. So if I had taken this course, I probably would know more of what to do than to just bend it and say, does it hurt? I probably know what to do for you, sweetheart. So anyway, it's a great course to have under your belt for just any normal situation. One last thing on the calendar, that is if you drew an alligator tag, don't forget you only have until September 10th to pay the $100 to get the actual permit. Now, they say give them 5 days to mailing it. I wouldn't wait that long. I'd say you need to get that taken care of by the 1st of September. If you drew your alligator tag, unlike me, I got a nasty rejection letter. I'll have to wait for another couple years, but I'll roll up points in it. But anyway, don't forget, just because you got drawn and got the little thing says you have successfully been drawn for the alligator hunt, you still have to go in and purchase that $100 tag. So don't forget, because down here at the bottom it says if you forget, and don't pay for it, then the department has the right of refusal to keep you from applying again down the future. So don't burn your bridge behind you. Pay for that alligator tag, and I hope you get one. Okay, that will be going to the Facebook page and the website. As always, we're going to move on. If you want to call the show for Take One, Make One, it's 235-9405, 877-235-9405 if you're outside the area. If you don't want to go on the air, Dave will take your question or comment and pass it along to me. Without further ado, we welcome Sergeant Eddie Montz to the Woods and Water South Carolina program.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate the invitation.
I appreciate the invitation to the banquet last night. So
yes, sir.
We're working together here. You were just recognized for your work with Take One, Make One. You just told me you had 29 and a half years with the department.
Correct.
Now, so all of your life you've been with the Department of Natural Resources.
Pretty much all my adult life.
Adult life.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself right quick.
Well, I was born in Irmo, which is in Lexington County. And I was in the first hiring class that went to statewide hiring, like the Highway Patrol.
Wow.
Used to be you would hire in the county that you lived. You had to wait for an opening, and then you'd apply and hopefully get hired.
Right.
When they went to statewide hiring, I was in that first hiring class, and I was given a job and was placed in Abbeville County. So
okay.
I live in northern Abbeville County, and I've been there ever since. So I've been there my whole career of 29 and a half years.
Wow. That's hard for anybody to say they lived in the same place 29 and a half years, much less the same job.
Right.
You obviously like it.
I love it. I love my job. There's no career that you like 100% of the time. That goes, I'm sure you could say the same thing about the radio business. But 99.9% of the time, it's been a great job. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, good. That's good. Now, how long have you been with the Take One, Make One program?
About a year and a half.
About a year and a half.
All right. I was in the field for 28 years. The Take One, Make One program is not new to the department, but it's
right.
new to the upstate in the PD areas.
Okay.
And they wanted to expand the program, and so they created a new position, and several of us interviewed, and I was selected, and I'm the Take One, Make One Youth Hunt Coordinator for the upstate in PD areas. I've got the upper 25 counties of the state. I can run from Edgefield to Oconee, over to York, and down to Marion County. Linwood Kearse out of Chapin area, he has regions. I have regions 1 and 2.
Okay.
He has 3 and 4. 3 is the Midlands area, and 4 is all the coastal area.
Okay.
From Oree down to Jasper.
Okay.
So we basically split the state into 2 halves. I've got the upper half. He's got the lower half.
Now, let me ask you this. Last night at the banquet that I was at down in Greenwood, that's the Lakeland's branch chapter.
That's correct.
QDMA. You were at the RACPAC.
Yes.
Table for the whole night. That was your deal. Now, how long have you been doing that?
I think this is the third year.
Third year.
Right. I'm the chairman of the Lakeland's RACPAC. RACPAC to QDMA, Quality Deer Management Association, is the youth group for QDMA, such as Jake's is to NWTF,
right.
Green Wings are to Ducks Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
So RACPAC is their, R-A-C-K, RACPAC is their youth equivalent for QDMA.
Well, I tell you, if you've only been Take One, Make One for a year and a half, and QDMA recognizes you have done a good job with this small short time you've had up here. Then.
Well, I appreciate it. I've got a lot of help, a lot of volunteers, a lot of good friends, a lot of good networking, working together, and because it's not a – my name might have been on that award, but it's a lot of people
lot
behind it to
you.
Make it happen.
Yeah,
yes,
pushing
sir.
You
yes,
and
it was,
leading you.
It's a tremendous honor, but it's a very humbling honor as well.
Well, good. Well, congratulations, and I hope going forward here we'll have a lot more contact with the youth activities you got going on.
I hope so, too. Appreciate it.
We were talking about doing something here shortly, at least going down and being a part of watching the kids take part in the dove hunt. So we'll see what happens with that one.
Okay.
Tell me about Take One, Make One. And I know a little bit about it just because I read up on it for this show or whatever. And actually, you know, if you know me again, and especially my family, my dad was a structural engineer. Which means that if it didn't have a plan, set of prints, and that sort of thing, you know, it just wasn't on his radar. We did grow up in the country. It was the best childhood I could have ever had. But he just did not hunt or fish.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in the early 70s. And, you know, my granddaddy Metz, he loved to fish. So I learned how to fish under my granddaddy. But my dad, who probably went a step further than most hunting fathers would do, because, you know, like with my kids, I just – bundle them up and we go, and they don't have to ask to go. I'll take them anytime they want to go. And so I think actually Dad taking a step further to go into the community and say, look, I've got two sons. They think they want to hunt. I don't know how. I don't have the knowledge, the tools, but if you would take them, I'll trust you enough and I trust them enough. I've taught them the basics of safety and that sort of thing, that if you'll take them, I would appreciate it. And that was probably take one, make one before it was ever a program.
That's basically it, that you're exactly right.
And that's the way a lot of people our age grew up. If their parents didn't hunt, it was just like a community little thing. I hate to say it takes a village because it doesn't take a village. It takes a community. And I've got an article that I found that talks about that, that it's when one parent or set of parents doesn't have what it takes the hunting community to come together to take those kids and get them started. And that's what take one, make one does.
You're exactly right. The, just to give you a little history, the, origin of TOMO, that's the acronym, of course, for take one, make one. You'll hear us refer to it all the time as a TOMO program.
Okay.
The idea, came from our, former executive director, John Frampton.
Okay.
In 1998. It was his, idea to do something like this for the youth that don't have access or anyone to take them hunting. So he thought about this in 1998. It was put together as a program and presented to our DNR board of directors in 1999, and they approved it. Then the process had to move on a little bit to get the ball rolling in 2001. And, in 2002, Officer Linwood Kearse, who I mentioned before, he was already in a hunter education program, was asked to be the state coordinator. He was the first state coordinator for the TOMO program, which included the mentoring concept, and we'll get to that, and the youth age participation. Our target youth are ages 10 to 17, first-time hunters, with the emphasis on first-time hunters.
First-time hunters.
Right. So, what started in 2002 with one officer and a handful of hunts, 12 years later, we've got five officers active with it now,
okay,
including our Lieutenant Kim Leverage and First Sergeant Ryan Bass, and then three of us in the field, so to speak.
And I met Ryan last night.
That's correct. Yeah, yep. He's my First Sergeant.
Okay.
And so what started with one officer and a handful of hunts, today we've got five officers averaging 50 to 60 hunts a season or a year. With approximately 450 youth participants statewide.
That's great. That's 450 kids that if you weren't sitting here in the studio would never know what you and I have known our whole lives.
That's right. Those of us that grew up hunting, I did. I was blessed with an outdoor dad, a lot of hunting and fishing and whatever. He grazed his own beagles. We had 20-something beagles at one time. And we never owned a dog box. We would turn the dogs out right there at the house and go hunting that morning. Come back, put those dogs up, get the other pack out, and go hunt that afternoon. But now, everywhere I hunted back in Lexington County are housing developments.
It's housing developments.
So that takes away habitat.
That's right.
And opportunities for the young folks of today's generations to have a place to hunt. So hence, TOMO is their go-to program. So that's just like you said, everybody took it for granted when they were growing up.
That's right.
Now we have a state program to supply that need for hunters, that young hunters, male and female,
okay,
that don't have access to a place to go, or maybe their parents are interested but don't know where to get them involved, but don't have a place to go and don't know where to start, and maybe they didn't hunt themselves and they don't have the skills needed.
Yeah.
So we cover all that in TOMO. We've got all the bases covered. We just need them to get involved.
And it's a common problem because I have friends who think they would like to start hunting, and they walk into any store you want to say, and they see a guy on the front of a hunting magazine. He's got all this equipment and stuff like that. And they call me and they say, well, how do I get from where I am to there? Or how do I get my kid from where I am here to there? That's where Take One Makes One comes in. Because it starts, you got to start somewhere.
You got to crawl
before
you can walk.
Help you start. Mm-hmm. So, all right, there's the music. We're going to go to a break. Come back. We'll start going through the mentors, the kids, the interaction with the parents with Sergeant Eddie Mons. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We are talking today with Eddie Monts from the Department of Natural Resources Take One, Make One program. If you want to call in and ask a question, if you've had an experience with Take One, Make One, or if you just want to sit there and listen to what we're talking about, that's fine too. Just act on what we're talking about because this is important. This is the next generation that will carry on what in South Carolina has been a tradition for several hundred years. If you want to call in, the numbers are 235-9405 in the Greenville area. Outside the area, it's 877-239-405. If you don't want to go on the air, just give your question to Dave, and he'll get it to me. All right, we talked a little bit about Eddie. We talked a little bit about the beginnings of Take One, Make One. And it's you have to have a program. You have to have the department to run it. But to even start to have the first kid, you've got to have mentors.
That's correct. Our mentors are a vital lifeline of the program.
Now, what does a mentor need to know?
A mentor, to give you the gist of what a mentor is,
okay,
a responsible adult, age 21 or older, male or female. We're always in the need of an extra females, by the way. We do have young lady hunters. We very much prefer to have a female mentor to sit with the young lady hunters. No criminal history.
Okay.
We do a background check on every mentor. And it's basically just filling out the application, and we go from there. We'll do the background check, get them in the system as a volunteer, and they don't have to have experience in the hunting world. We prefer some type of experience because we want the mentor to help educate the youth during the hunt on the proper techniques, safe gun handling, respecting the natural outdoors in general, and, of course, having respect for the game that you're pursuing.
Correct. And I have an adult mentor application here, and it's, you know, you must be willing to become a role model in outdoor, all aspects of outdoor hunting and fish shooting sports activities, safety, ethics, value, good citizenship, and wildlife conservation. You volunteer to host and sponsor selected youth or young adults. And I would assume that's a landowner. That's more pertaining to the landowner.
That's correct. A mentor does not have to have a piece of property.
That's right. Allow the parents to accompany their son or daughter on selected events. Now, which brings up a question. Do you have many parents that participate?
Yes, we do. And we encourage parent participation. We will have a mentor for safety reasons with each child during the hunt.
Okay.
Regardless.
Right.
If it's a situation such as a ground blind that's big enough that a parent can accompany them to take photographs and whatnot.
Right.
We encourage that greatly. We want the parents involved with the youth activities at all time. There may be some instances, such as an elevated deer stand. It's not a tower type stand, such
right.
as a ladder type that only two people could, fit in. Then that would not be possible. But if all possible, we always want the parent actively involved at all stages of the hunt.
And that's good. Were you talking earlier with me about you were starting a program that was going to be more of a parent?
We're looking at doing something in the future with having some parent slash student, you know, the student I'm referring to, the youth participant.
Right.
Parents and student clinics on hunting techniques and everything, and we want the parents to learn with the youth. That way, as time goes by, they're both learning, then they both can go out on their own once they graduate from the program and have that hunting experience to, you know, after they've finished up with our TOMO program, they can enjoy that family experience together.
Together. Provide transportation if necessary, which normally that's the parent's responsibility, right?
Well, what that's referring to is sometimes we'll have a meeting place at a certain location.
Okay.
Where there's facilities and where we can do our hunter safety talk and go over the hunt planning
okay.
form with the before the hunt. Then we may have the mentor ask, we're going to take the child in your truck because you may have a hunter, a mentor going to one stand in one direction and another youth participant and a mentor going in another direction. So that's what that's referring
okay.
to. They don't have to go pick up the child and bring them. It's that they may need to help us assist get them to and from the stands.
All right. He doesn't need to be an expert, but you'd like for him to have some experience. Now, what does he need to do? He doesn't need to have land. Does he necessarily have to have extra clothes, equipment, and guns for the youth?
No, he does not. Our TOMO program supplies all needed equipment for the hunt program itself, including the guns, the ammunition. If we're having a dove hunt, because that's the first hunt's coming up, let's say, and a young man or lady shows up and wearing a bright red or orange shirt to a dove hunt where you need to be fully camouflaged, because they just don't know.
That's right.
They're not sure, because we're dealing with first-time hunters here.
Okay.
Not a problem. We have a supply trailer. I'll go in it. Hopefully we can find an appropriate-sized camo shirt, and we're good to go.
Good to go. We talked about the process, which is very simply a short application, the background check and all. Do you have enough mentors for the program?
We can never have enough volunteer mentors.
Because we want to grow the program.
We
can't
grow
the program without more mentors.
That's exactly right. Volunteer mentors are vital to the program's success. We're always looking for more adults that are willing to donate their time. We couldn't run it without the volunteers. That
right.
is vital.
Right.
They give of their time, fuel if necessary, like I mentioned, and some travel. We have some that will volunteer to cook a meal if we have facilities at a certain hunt location where we can do that. So volunteers are vital to make the program work. Tomo, you know, leads it on paper.
Right.
But it takes a lot of volunteers to make it work.
And
we appreciate them. So we're always looking for more mentors. And touching on mentors again, they're there for several reasons on the hunt. Number one is safety. Safety is first and foremost on every hunt. That's without question.
Right.
No question on that.
There is no catch and release with a gun.
No, no. When you squeeze the trigger, there's no turning back.
That's right.
The bullet has no favoritism.
Yep.
So safety is always number one. That goes without question. Secondly, the mentor is there to educate and instruct the youth participant with certain techniques during the hunt to aid them to hopefully have a well, they want to have a successful hunt.
Right.
But a successful hunt doesn't always mean a harvest.
That's right.
But, you know, if it's a turkey hunt, you know, they're instructing them how to make the calls for the turkey, what to look for. If it's a deer hunt, most of the time you're not always looking for a whole deer to step out. You're
right.
looking for an ear twitch, a tail twitch.
Horizontal
so,
line.
Exactly. So the mentor is there to, there again, safety is always number one, but number two, to help educate them in the act of hunting on whatever game they're pursuing. So so that's vital also. So hopefully we'll have a harvest. We can present the opportunity and equipment. We can't always make it happen, but the focus shouldn't be on squeezing the trigger. That should
right.
be the icing on the cake.
That's exactly right. The meat of the whole thing is just getting them involved and getting them outdoors.
That's correct.
We've got a call. It's from Lisa in Patrick, South Carolina. Lisa, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Fine. Thank you for calling the show today. What's your question?
Have a question.
Okay.
I just want to give a comment about the program. I am a volunteer mentor
okay.
with the TOMO program, and my son Will is a TOMO kid that goes hunting with the program.
Great.
And I just want to say that it's a great program for kids as well as adults that want to get outdoors and enjoy what the outdoors has to offer. Not only do the kids learn how to hunt and prepare their kills or anything like that, but they get to enjoy the outdoors.
We appreciate that. Lisa, good to hear from you.
Okay, and you have a good day, and I just want to commend Mr. Eddie Motz on his job with the TOMO program.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll have to put a 5-spot in the mail to you.
Okay.
And Lisa, we appreciate you volunteering
right,
for this program.
You. Have a good afternoon.
Same to you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Well, volunteers are cheap these days, aren't they?
I know it. Yeah. She's a good one. She's been with the Will, her son, has been with the program for several years. As I mentioned at the top, our target youth are ages 10 to 17.
Right.
We want to keep them in the program for several years to get them drawn on different hunts. They opt out at age 18. So
okay.
if you've anyone out there, youth that are 16 or 17, we'd like to get them in the program right away.
Right away.
Cause they're fixing to opt out at age 18. But, Will, he's a character. He's a good guy. He's been on several of our hunts.
Yeah.
And Miss Lisa is one of my mentors.
Okay.
And we have a lot of fun together. And that's what it's all about.
That's
it's not, and I can't emphasize that enough to these young folks out there. You see these outdoor channel TV shows, and in 30 minutes, you know, they've killed a record moose or a black bear, whatever it might be. And that's not how it is. That's not the focus. The focus is on the whole hunting experience, the sportsmanship, the camaraderie among friendship, telling of tall tales afterwards, you know, and that's what you'll remember. Now, you'll remember if you have a successful harvest and you have something that you can have take to a taxidermist, that goes in time. That'll right. come. But for a beginner hunter, we want them to experience the whole ball of wax. And number one, get down to basics of, like I say, gun safety first.
Right.
Hunting ethics and the techniques involved for whatever game is being pursued. The harvest will come later in time.
And in this program, we're not just talking about deer hunting. We were talking earlier, you got dove hunting, turkey hunting.
Deer, turkey. We've done duck hunts. We've done wild hog hunts. We've done squirrel hunts, rabbit hunts. So whatever pretty much is in season, or of course there's not a season on wild hogs,
right.
but that's year round. But, you know, if it flies or crawls or wiggles its tail or something, we can probably work something
probably
out
find
to make a harvest. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, there's the break music. We'll be back on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We are talking Take One, Make One with Eddie Montz, the Department of Natural Resources. And running into the last segment, and this always happens when you have a good show. You have other stuff and you say, no, the show's about this subject. We're just going to run off. So we're into the last segment. Try to reserve the last couple minutes for a couple of things. But we're going to talk about the kids now. We've talked about the program, talked about the mentors. Now we're talking about the kids. Where do the kids come from?
Well, it's a variety of ways a youth can get involved. A lot of it is word of mouth once you get a young person, boy or girl, involved, and a lot of them will tell their friends, and word of mouth spreads a lot.
Okay.
We work a lot of public events, just like today's show, promoting
right.
it, and there's, you know, they're listening out there to parents, guardians, and youth too, hopefully.
You've got trailers. We've missed the trailers. You've got the Take One, Make One trailers.
That's
take
correct.
To events.
We've got the promotional trailers. We take to public events to promote the program. Of course, all this is on our website too.
Right.
We also work closely with, other agencies such as Deconny Maxwell Home in Greenwood.
Okay.
John Delahaye down in McCormick, the Boys Home in Newberry, just to mention a few
okay.
up my way. I'm sure there's others across the state as well. Like I say, we do these public appearances and events to promote the youth to sign up. And a lot of times the parents, just like Miss Lisa that called in earlier, she's told her friends about it. And,
right.
and it snowballs.
Okay.
And that's what we want to do. We always want more youth in the program. And there again is no cost to the parent or guardian at all other than just a time and a gas to get to a hunt.
Okay.
And our goal for hunts, and that's the reason they expanded to the upstate, our goal is to have a parent or a guardian to drive an hour and a half to a two-hour max. 2 hours is really our limit. We want to get that down to an hour and a half. So that's
okay.
why we're trying to expand across the upstate and the PD areas. And how it works is we've got the youth and the computer bank, of course.
Okay.
And then Linwood and myself, we schedule our hunts, and we'll send all that information into our main office in Columbia, the Hunter Education Office, and our TOMO secretary will organize it a little bit better for us and send out emails. Email, everything's going to emails now.
Of course.
So if you're going to get involved, please have an active email address that you're constantly checking. She'll send out notices of a hunt that's been posted, and the youth will respond, and the parent or guardian can say, yes, put us in for this hunt on such
okay.
and such a day, whatever hunt it might be, deer, turkey, whatever. Or they can email back and say, sorry, we're not available for that day. Please keep us in mind for the next
okay.
Hunt in our area. So that's in a nutshell how it works.
Okay. The kids, when you get them, most of them ready to learn. I mean, are they eager beavers when they get into this program?
Yes, they are, because it's something they're involved with. They want to, or they're interested in, and they want to get more involved with it. A lot of times, like I say, they've heard about it from other friends at school or other groups they may be involved with, and they are so excited. And that gets me excited as a coordinator.
Right.
And it gets the volunteers excited.
Yeah.
I've got a gentleman that's got some property over down in Marion County, and he's one of my he's become a good, very good mentor. And he gets more excited than the kids do. He'll come in, and he's got to where he'll videotape it on his phone.
Right,
and he's showing it and things. And when you get volunteers that excited, you know, it's easy to have this program to work.
And, you know, a volunteer or mentor like that gets real excited about a kid because, in my way of thinking, that's taken me back to the first time I was there and how excited I was. And you're seeing it all over again in the next generation. And that would get me excited.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Because as an adult, if you're familiar with hunting and you've become one of our mentors, you're past that, if it's brown, it's down kind
of stage. That's right.
And you want to pass on your knowledge and experiences to the younger generation because that's our future.
And that, all that knowledge that, well, for me is 40 years or whatever of being outdoors, fishing, hunting, whatever. You don't want that to go and just die off with you. You need to pass that stuff on to the next one. I was this past spring, I was up at a fishing rodeo up at, the Forester Center up there. And, I was on one side of the creek and on the other side of the creek was an older man, obviously a granddaddy, sitting in his chair. He had his two grandson and a granddaughter, couldn't have been more than 5 or 6 years old. And he was untangling lines and that sort of thing, baiting hooks. And I crossed the creek. I said, "How are you doing?" And he never even looked up at me. He said, "I'm doing what a granddaddy should do."
There you go.
It's pass that on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly right. And some of these youth, you know, they may be from a broken home or some of these orphanages I mentioned.
Right.
And they don't have that parental or grandparental, if that's a word.
we'll make it one.
There you go. Influence right. to, like it used to be in our generations.
Yep.
'Cause I don't remember not hunting or fishing.
Right.
I was very blessed. But there's a lot of youngsters out there now that don't have those opportunities. We've had a lot of habitat loss. And so that's where TOMO can step in and provide those opportunities. And it's a very, very rewarding program. And it's you'd have to experience it.
Right.
It's hard for me to put in words unless you're there.
Unless you're there to see it. And I hope I'm going to be there. In fact, I'm going to make sure I'm there for at least one of them this fall. So you've got word of mouth. That's how it gets out. Now, you said you do, what, 50 events a year?
Anywhere from 50 to 60 hunts statewide,
okay.
Counting upstate and lower state.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, is this program only open at certain times of year? I mean, is there a certain few months that you need to get involved so you can get all the training in, or is this thing wide open anytime during the year?
365 days a year.
There you go.
You can go online to our website. Click on, it's www.dnr.sc.gov.
Okay.
Click on Hunter Education. Click on Take One, Make One, and you'll see applications there.
Right.
The student applications are there for the youth to participate. The adult mentor applications are there. You can print them right off on your home computer, fill them out, mail them into our office. And there's one more prerequisite we haven't touched on.
Okay.
I touched on hunter safety.
Right.
But they can go ahead and, as far as the adults, we'll do the backgrounds, and then we'll take care of that on the adult level. As far as the youth participants, they do need to successfully pass our hunter education course. So they'll have the basics down. That's really the only, other than ages 10 to 17,
right?
That's the only other prerequisite. They can go ahead and fill out the application, and we can put it in our computer bank, but they won't be activated for a hunt unless they successfully pass our hunter education course.
That course is offered year-round now?
It is. You can have it, you can do it online. You can do a take-home study course. We highly recommend doing a classroom situation, because online or the take-home study, you're not there to ask the instructor a question if you're not sure. And there can be some hands-on with, they go over the parts of a weapon and everything, and they'll have one there to break it down. So we highly recommend the in-class situation for a youngster. Adult would probably be okay with the online course.
Okay.
But for a youngster, we recommend the classroom setting because they can actually ask questions.
And they can find that on the DNR website.
Is that under
education?
Right. Okay. Go to the Hunter Education link again, click on Hunter Education, and then look under the classroom classes, Hunter Ed classes section. Okay. Click on it, and you can sign up online as well. And you can pick the one closest to you. We're doing them now also at Cabela's because we have Cabela's open. Okay. We're doing classes there now too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I think we've covered. You got the website. You got the brochures off the website. You do have a relatively new Facebook page.
We do. We opened our launched our Facebook page in March of this year down at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic. And you can also follow our activities and events on our Facebook page. Just type in SCDNR, Take One, Make One. And like us and share us and follow us on Facebook. And we can, a lot of times on these hunts, we can post events, or our clinics will post events as they're happening.
Wow.
So it's a new way in this age of technology to reach the young people.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to do, because that's what the program's about.
Well, I appreciate you being here. I think if there's anybody out there who's hunted all their lives, you've seen the loss of habitat, you've seen the loss of opportunity, you've seen all the kids hunched over Xboxes and that sort of thing. Maybe you've listened to this and you said, you know, I think I might want to do that. Encourage you to be a mentor. If you know of a kid, you know, you hunt, you take your son's hunting or your daughter's hunting, there's a kid in the cul-de-sac or whatever that looks at you or likes to talk about it and that sort of thing, but you've always kind of been, well, in this age, you have to think about liability. You know, here's a place to point that kid. You know, look, here's the Take One, Make One program. If you really want to get involved in hunting and fishing, I think this is the way you can do it. And I wanted to say on the website that the mentors and the landowners are covered under the DNR's liability insurance.
That is great.
Any of these events and all. A great program for the next generation of hunters and all in South Carolina. I'd like to take the last few minutes here and go over just a few things, and I do have a few minutes to go. We're going to get busy this week. The forest.
Let me touch on one thing. I was talking about the whole hunting experience. One last thing I want to emphasize before we go, and I mentioned youth watching these outdoor channel shows,
right.
You know, your Michael Waddell
right.
and all that stuff. And when I do these talks in schools or church groups or whatever, I'll always ask the youth, I'll say, when I say the word trophy, what do you think of? And they'll invariably raise their hand, and I'll point to one. He'll say, what? He said, a huge buck. And, you know, it's the old saying, you know, I saw a buck with a rocking chair on his head.
Yep.
Well, that will come in time. If you've got a first-time hunters, and that's our target audience for our TOMO program, if it's their first squirrel hunt and they harvest a squirrel,
that's a trophy.
That's a trophy.
You're exactly right.
If they're on a doe hunt, because sometimes our landowners, we get invited on specific quality management property, not QDMA membership per se, but they're
right.
managing for quality bucks.
Right.
And sometimes they need to take excess does. And you take a youngster, and if male or female, of course, and they harvest a 65-pound doe, that's
a
trophy. So I tell these youth, when you're first starting, a trophy is a relative term, and it's what you make of it.
That's exactly right.
As you progress with your hunting experience.
5 steps of a hunter.
That's it. And you progress in life and mature both in life and with your hunting experience. Then you can be more choosy on what you want to hunt and eventually get into trophy hunting.
Right.
But that's not what we're looking for our TOMO program. And I just wanted to emphasize that we're not a program to go out and trophy hunt youth. We are a beginner's program, and we want them to have a harvest. It doesn't always happen. We've had students
right.
in our program that's been selected on several hunts, and it might be 3 or 4 hunts before they get to make a harvest.
Right.
But I don't want the youth to be focused on the
what
deer
on
with
TV.
The rocking chair
that's
on his
it.
Head. Yes,
yep.
Those are fun shows, but that's something you can work towards later in life and as your hunting experience develops. So a trophy is a relative term, and it's what you make of it.
Yep. That's it. Very good point. I'll be at the FLW Tour. Look on the Facebook page on the website. I'm going to update those as many times as I can while I'm there. I hope if you have a chance, you'll get down. I hope you, while you're down in Columbia, Eddie will be there. Look for the green jeans. You talk to him in person. Go to the website, get your information from there. I hope you'll participate. Mentor, kid, parent, get involved with them. We're almost at the end here. Let's see. Chuck Norris for the week. Bill Gates lives in constant fear that Chuck Norris's PC will crash. Oh, me. It's been a good one. Eddie, I appreciate you being here.
I appreciate
taking time out of your Saturday. We're going to go to Henry's and get some barbecue?
That's the only reason I came, because you promised me a barbecue sandwich.
I promised
sandwich.
You a barbecue sandwich. And
you
that's
had
why
me good hooked at barbecue.
Hey, it doesn't take much. Here's James in the background. So that's it for another Saturday. I hope you enjoyed the show. Get outside this week. Be careful when you're out. I was on the back roads in Cameron. The peanut harvest is on. Travel the back roads. And don't forget your camera. I'll see you next Saturday. Gone.